18. Consider the night the deer was having. After the animal's execution by Mike's handgun at the side of Highway 16, it had gone through a period of blackness, from which it abruptly awakened in the trunk of a car with a lunatic half-faced cat standing on top of it. Cordyceps novus, having pulled off the seemingly impossible migration into the trunk of the car, had spent more than 8 hours marinating inside the helpless creature's brain. The fungus had gone to work to repair damage from the bullets, in the process rewiring neural connections to alter the animal's behavior. The amygdala was expanded. The frontal cortex was inhibited. All the animal's basic instincts, eat, reproduce, run away, had been subordinated to the primary goal of helping the fungus sporulate and disperse. The deer didn't have much in the sense of wonder, so it had no interest in trying to puzzle out how a pathogenic mutating fungus that had been stored in a sealed subterranean environment ended up above ground in the trunk of a 96 Chevy Caprice in the first place. Still, it's a question worth asking. By the early 1990s, the Cordyceps novus sample that had been recovered in Australia and stored at Atchison was brutally unhappy. When you have one biological imperative and that imperative is thwarted, it gets pretty depressing. But even though the temperature inside the bioseal tank was 14 degrees below zero and the fungus was nearly inert, 14 below zero is still a lot warmer than absolute zero. And nearly inert is not at all the same thing as completely inert. Deep underground, sealed in a tank that was shut in a box that was locked in a crate, the fungus continued its pattern of consumptive evolution, albeit slowly, given the temperature and the inhospitable chemical composition of the stainless steel tube itself. Manganese and aluminum were abundant in its makeup, but they were of almost no use, given their non-reactive nature. A full 16% of the tube was chromium, which was actually a growth inhibitor for Cordyceps novus, so that was a downer, and carbon, which was what the fungus truly craved, made up a scant 0.15% of its chemical surroundings. The fungus did grow, but barely. Still, time marched on. By 2005, after almost 20 years of ceaseless effort, the fungus had managed to transform and occupy an area of the tube a few microns square. Through that tiny opening, the fungus trickled out into the larger storage container in which the tube rested. It picked up a little nourishment from the polyurethane foam in which the tube was nestled. At least poly had more than two reactive hydroxyl groups per molecule. A fungus could work with that. But it wasn't until it made its way through the portable sample kit's outer shell in late 2014 that Cordyceps novus hit its digestive stride. Because the outer box, the big one, the crate Roberto and Trini had watched so carefully in the back of the truck 27 years before, was made of carbon fiber, superfood. The fungus was out of containment and loose in the sealed room at this point, but still slowed by the underground temperature. Slowed, not stopped. The powerful cold spring, fed by the deeper undercurrents of the Missouri River, had spent most of the 21st century warming up along with the rest of the planet. The river surface got hotter, the spring got hotter. The ambient temperature inside sublevel 4 had risen 7 degrees since the fungus had first been incarcerated, and the temperature only went up as the fungus produced its own chemical reactions. Its conquest of the sealed room was completed by midsummer of 2018. The fungus oozed through the wiring in the wall in the autumn of that year and spread into the main corridor of SB4 in November. An unusually cold winter delayed its growth briefly, but when a record-breaking heat wave hit in early March of this year, Cordyceps novus got the few extra degrees it needed to crank up its metabolic machinery. It infected organic matter again for the first time since its birth in Australia. That was when it found the roach. The American cockroach has several impressive evolutionary characteristics, besides its ability to survive a nuclear winter. One is that it can live without its head for up to a week. Respiration occurs through small holes in each of its body segments. So even after the first Cordyceps novus slash cockroach hybrid was decapitated in a snarl of mayhem with a dozen other infected roaches who attacked and tried to consume each other, CN Roach 1 was able to continue on its purposeful way. And it did have a purpose. From the moment of its hijacking, CN Roach 1 became imbued with a biological purpose greater than any roach in history. That's saying something for a 280-million-year-old genus. Cordyceps novus was driven. Over 32 years of isolation, it had changed very little, except to note that its growth environment was for shit. Its epigenetic memory of its initial expansion back in Kirikoura community was one of extreme fertility. The first living thing it had come into contact with was Enos Namajira's uncle, whom it had entered through a loose flap of skin under a torn fingernail on his right hand. The warmth and fetidity of the inside of a human body had caused explosive proliferation. Human beings were also highly mobile, and as a species had a tendency to congregate. It was as if God had drawn these creatures up specifically to make life easy for the fungus. The complete takeover of 27 human flesh pots was fast and easy. Oh, how glorious things had been back then, before the fungus was jailed inside this tin can. If there's one thing prison gives you, it's plenty of time to sit around and long for the good old days. Cordyceps novus had tasted humans, and it wanted more. First, it had to get out of here, and CN Roach 1 was a means to that end. The headless insect had moved methodically back and forth across the floor of SB4 for 4 days, skirting a path around the shrieking, cannibalistic rat king until he reached the far end of the corridor. There, the roach discovered a 4-centimeter tube opening at the base of the wall, covered by a small metal grill. The tube was required by law in any underground structure more than 50 feet below ground level in order to prevent the type of CO2 buildup that had killed so many mine workers in the 19th century. From a containment point of view, the opening was a terrible idea. But the sublevel had never been designated for storage of biohazards, and the opening was just small enough to have escaped the notice of the team that had entombed the fungus 32 years ago. CN Roach 1 didn't care why the tube was there. It just sensed fresh oxygen, crawled inside, and followed an upward curve in the pipe, which rose gradually to vertical. The insect climbed. 2 days later, nearing the end of its life, but about to achieve its greatest success, and late success really is the sweetest, CN Roach 1 reached the ground-level grating of the ventilation tube's emission port and wriggled out onto the surface of the hot, loamy earth. It was 50 yards from the entrance to Atchison Storage on a warm, late winter afternoon. What a piece of work was this roach. It had endured infection by a hostile fungus. It had survived its own decapitation. It had methodically searched for and found a way out of a prison specifically designed by intellects far superior to its own to allow no escape. But little CN Roach 1 had done just that. Headless, dehydrated, and dying, it had climbed 323 feet straight up on a slick surface. Given its tiny size, this feat was the human equivalent of climbing Kilimanjaro on your knees right after going to the guillotine. The tiny roach had performed perhaps the greatest act of physical conquest in the history of earthly life. Then a car parked on top of it. CN Roach 1 died with a squishy pop beneath the right rear tire. The car was Mike's. And this was this afternoon when he'd come to Atchison Storage looking to bury the cat and deer he'd murdered. While Mike walked up to the hilltop and searched for the right spot, Cordyceps novus faced the latest obstacle in its 32-year journey. 10/32nds of an inch of thick rubber car tire. But it had been confronted with something similar once and knew just who to call. The sheen of benzene X that lived on the surface of the fungus activated almost immediately. It invaded the rubber in the tire, ate its way through, and opened a doorway for the fungus to pass into the airy interior of the wheel. Cordyceps novus floated upward, and the fungus and its endosymbiont repeated the penetrative process through the tread at the top of the wheel. From there, they rode along a bit of wiring that led into the trunk of the Chevy Caprice, where Cordyceps novus discovered abundant consumable organic matter in the form of a dead deer and Mr. Scroggins, the former cat. That was more like it.